views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Light shines on Lyme disease. Limelight Radio with Katina Makris is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential to expand awareness and activate change to eliminate Lyme disease for good. Limelight Radio is a much-needed venue for the USA's number one fastest-spreading infectious illness. Katina is an award-winning author, a natural healthcare practitioner with over 30 years' experience, and most importantly, a healing force with her own personal Lyme journey. Be part of a movement to help end the suffering and confusion surrounding Lyme disease and begin to take action. Now here's your host, Katina Makris.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Limelight Radio. It's my pleasure to be with you this week. Here we are in the beautiful peak of summer all around the United States. I think everyone is aware that we are in the heart of Lyme disease contagion with people outdoors, hiking, camping, barbecue. So everyone, please take care. Use your tick repellents, and do your good tick checks every day because we want to avoid this illness. So today we've got a very special guest, someone that's very dear to me, Teresa Denham, who I'm going to read your bio in a second. She's out in Oregon, and she has done such hard work for this state, which has gone under-recognized for a long time about the magnitude of the illness out there. And she and I are going to be visiting today with all of you. We're going to learn about what's going on in Oregon, and we're also going to be talking about my visit out to Oregon. We've got a lot of exciting things planned. So let me introduce Teresa to you first and get to learn about her background, and then we're going to get into a great conversation. So Teresa is the founder and president of Oregon Lyme Disease Network. In 2001, and she became became a nonprofit all-volunteer organization in 2005 after nearly losing her daughter to the illness and contracting the illness herself. Teresa had to quit work in the field of veterinary medicine and microbiology to care for her daughter, Ashley, 24/7, who from the age of 6 to age 13 had 18 different diagnoses, which caused congestive heart failure, seizure disorders, connective tissue disorders, early onset Alzheimer's at age of 11. She had learning disabilities, pain, and so much more. Meanwhile, Teresa had been misdiagnosed with MS in 1987. In 2000, a breakthrough occurred and Ashley was tested for Lyme disease. The doctor humored us, as Teresa's words, and she actually had a positive CDC result returned. The family traveled to Connecticut to see the very renowned Dr. Jones, and while there, Teresa was referred to Dr. Katz, the neurologist, and through tests and clinical diagnosis, Teresa was re-diagnosed with Lyme disease. Today, her MS has resolved. I love this. I love this story. Her MS has resolved with negative MRIs and negative spinal taps after being treated for Lyme disease. Thinking there were very few people with this rare East Coast illness, Teresa started the Oregon Lyme Disease Network to help the few who might have it, and so they would not have to suffer as she and her family had. Since then, Teresa and Olden has helped over 1,500 patients navigate the tricky waters of diagnosis and treatment in Oregon. organization has reduced the average time of diagnosis in Oregon from 18 years from onset to 5 years. And in the case of classical presentation, patients are diagnosed between onset and in the second year. She has raised awareness among the public, introduced a bill which went through the Senate and received accolades on the Senate floor as an example of how a volunteer advocate should work with the senators. She is working with health authorities to make changes, is currently working to change the diagnostic standards in Oregon. Teresa has initiated tick studies and initiated one of the first autism correlations in 2002 with the well-renowned Dr. Bransfield and with Kathy Blanco, her Oregon Lyme Disease Secretary, who went on to co-found LIA. When Teresa is not busy, which is hard to believe, with Lyme disease, she's busy on her Central Oregon ranch, raising beautiful Tennessee walking horses and German Shepherd dogs for search and rescue. And she's also a scuba diver and a master and dive instructor program. So, Teresa, welcome to Limelight Radio.
Thank you. That was a wonderful introduction. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh, Teresa. I, first of all, have to say to you, thank you so much for coming on air with me today. Your story and your daughter's story are the kind of stories I need our audience to listen to around the world. I mean, it is just absolutely heartbreaking when we think what the two of you went through. You nearly lost her. You were misdiagnosed for years with MS. And, I mean, look at how far you have come. I mean, isn't this just a testimony to what we're facing with this insidious illness?
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, for starters, my daughter is also doing very, very well today. She has three beautiful and healthy children. And I think wonderful doctors that are working through the ILADS system have done a wonderful thing for the patients. And my goals here in Oregon are to gain better access for patients to get that ILADS opportunity of diagnosis and treatment here.
I know. It's so important. It's so important for people that are new to the show, ILAD, International Lyme and Disease Society.org. You can visit that website. That's where the doctors that are willing to step out of the box of just the old-fashioned diagnoses and criterion of Lyme disease as a short-term infectious illness are getting their training and their diagnostics through ILAD. And really, there's only about 600 doctors, I believe, currently with this kind of knowledge and protocol. So you're so right, Teresa. Getting people into the hands of an ILAD-trained practitioner is essential right now with this epidemic exploding.
It is, and I definitely feel the healing in our family was definitely impacted by finding the right medical practitioners to work with our family.
I know, and you were so brave to fly all the way to the East Coast to see Dr. Jones, who's such a brilliant, and he's in his late 80s now, bless his heart, he's been treating these youngsters for years.
Yes.
So wonderful that you got into his hands and then down to Dr. Katz. I mean, 1987 to now, when did you start your treatment for the MS? The Lyme treatment, you know, for the so-called MS.
Right, yeah. So I was diagnosed with MS at 28. I was re-diagnosed for Lyme disease at age 41, had lost a lot of use of my legs, had a lot of slurred speech, and cognitively was not doing well at all. And after about 18 months of treatment, I had resolved all of my MS symptoms. So from 41 to 42.
That's incredible. 18 months. What a breakthrough, huh?
It was amazing. It was tough back then. We had hurts back then like I don't see these days. they were extremely difficult, but they did provide the healing afterwards. And for our family, there didn't seem to be any damage from that.
That's so great. I'm so, so thrilled to hear your daughter's children are healthy. And I can see how passionately you're working to make a change in your state of Oregon. And so, Teresa, it's hard to believe it's time for our first station break. So stay with me and audience, stay tuned. We're going to come right back and we're going to get into more discussion with Teresa because we want to hear what's happening in Oregon. It's a hotbed, actually, for Lyme disease, and Teresa's right in there, as you could hear with legislation work. We want to learn more from you, Teresa. So everyone, hold on. This is Limelight Radio's Katina Mackis. We're going to be right back.
Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? While you see it your way, but the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone.
Tune in to the hit show Masters Chambers with your trusted friend Connie Fife, Mondays 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Each week, Connie will connect you with the best of the best thought leaders from around the globe to share their strategies and best practices. Getting better together. To book Connie, visit ConnieFifeSpeaks.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Mackris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com. Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
Clairvoyance, a gift few have.
And even fewer match the powers of one of America's best.
Dr. Linda Salvin. Dr. Linda's uncanny ability drills to the core of your issues to bring you quick and accurate answers and predictions. In more than two decades, Dr. Linda has helped over 75,000 people.
On national radio, by phone, in person.
When you need answers, Dr. Linda makes it clear. Book your time with this legendary seer now. Click on lindasalvin.com.
Or call 888-509-1077.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life. Each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Enlightening, humorous, and compassionate. Listen live to The Kelly Ballard Show, insight and inspiration from the great beyond. Kelly is a fourth-generation medium and intuitive who covers topics ranging from grief, spirit guides, and listening to your intuition. Kelly can help you get answers and guidance from the other side with a little bit of humor and a lot of healing. Tune in to The Kelly Ballard Show, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Limelight Radio, everyone. This is Katina Mackris, and we are having a fascinating discussion today with Teresa Denham out in Oregon. And for those of you that just jumped in on the show, Teresa was misdiagnosed with MS for 18 years, I believe, or close to. She's made a complete recovery. It was Lyme disease underneath it all. And she's gone on to do some absolutely stunning work in the state of Oregon. So Teresa, please tell our listeners, because you really are a great prototype for other states to follow. How did you get going? How did you decide to start the Oregon Lyme Disease Network? And bring us through the step-by-step of how you created this whole platform.
So our platform was actually, it's actually morphed quite a bit over the years. When I first started, I thought maybe there were only two or three or four people in our whole state who had this based on the information I'd been given. So I thought, well, I'll just throw together a very loose organization and put my name out there so people have somebody to call if they think that they might be having some mystery illnesses and need some help. So I basically just bought a website and built it and just said that we were the Oregon Lyme Disease Network, and that was in 2001 when we established that. I went ahead and did all the state registration I needed to do so that I could be legal in our state. And my whole goal was just to raise awareness and help people, you know, point them in the right direction. As it turned out, when I did this, I contacted one of the newspapers, and they said, well, could we do a story on your daughter's illness? I said, sure. And we ended up probably with close to 75 phone calls from that one press release.
Wow.
It turned out that all of those people actually ended up with Lyme disease.
Wow.
I thought, this is bigger than I thought. So I started looking into what my resources were so I could learn more and be more effective than what I did. So I joined ILADS. I joined LDA. At the time, CALDA was just in the process of forming something official. So I went down and I was actually part of the initial sit-down, or one of the sit-down boards with Phyllis, and Lorraine was there for her first time, too, with me. And then I think
that's LymeDisease.org now, right? The big network out of California. Yes, wonderful people.
Correct. Excellent people.
Yes.
And so I was doing a lot with Phyllis, and Lorraine and I were getting our feet wet, figuring out direction of things and how we could involve ourselves. And as I was doing that over the first, spent my first year traveling to and from California for meetings there to learn more and get more familiar with who the players are, who could help people. And also spent quite a bit of time heading back to LDA conferences and figuring out and meeting people I needed to meet over there who could help educate as well as give us direction. So this is not a, you know, it's been a process.
Yes.
Midway through 2001, we can just continue to grow. And everybody who contacted me, I said, please contact your local newspaper and share your story. And I didn't know what I was getting myself into. And had I known, I might have maybe only have one or two or three people do it, not everybody. And we exploded. Within a year, my phone was ringing off the hook. I was working with people 50 or 60 hours a week. And I thought, doing this alone. I cannot handhold people individually. So I contacted a couple of people who had contacted me and who have become very dear friends, which you'll meet while you're on your tour here. It's going to be so fun. Ask them if they would consider starting support groups local to their region so that we could do education and support in batches rather than individually. And so I started handing off some of those responsibilities to other support groups throughout the state. And that way the patients could learn to advocate for themselves rather than having us hold their hands through it. So that was kind of step
right.
two. And then as each support group started to grow, we realized we really had even a bigger problem here than we first presumed. And that's when I started getting involved with some of our legislators here and expressing to them a need for something to change. And
Oh my gosh, I mean, this was such an eye-opener for you in such a quick period of time, huh?
Oh gosh, yeah. In a period of probably about 3 years, we reached so many people. And it was both good and bad because, unfortunately, we don't have resources here. So when we reach people, if they can't afford to go anywhere, what do we do with them? And so anybody who's wanting to start an organization, I would definitely be keeping those things in the back of your mind because you end up with a lot of patients who can't afford to go anywhere that need help, but helping them is extremely difficult. And heartbreaking, very heartbreaking at times.
It is heartbreaking, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So as of today, we have 6 support groups across the state of Oregon. Most of the support groups have over 100 patients in the support groups. I think we've got over 250 that are in our Southern Oregon group, well over 200 in the Portland group. And then the balance of them are right around 100 people per support group. So, you know, we're doing our best to move forward with good education and events to allow people to open their own eyes on how they can help support themselves and support other people that they may meet down the road. It's all about...
Oh, my gosh. It's just, I'm so proud of you, Teresa. I mean, to make 6 support groups in the state in such a short period of time and to bring an illness to recognition when we think of thousands of people that have been bumbling around with all kinds of autoimmune diagnoses and, you know, just kind of, you know, chronic headaches and just all kinds of troublesome systems and the poor little kids with the learning disabilities. And here we are with tick-borne diseases underneath it all.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. It's
Oh, my gosh.
It's a big bite to chew off.
Oh, my gosh, but I'm so proud of you with these support groups, and it sounds like you're very active with your group.
Thank you. You know, it comes and goes, and, you know, I have to tell you, I try to give a lot of leeway to my support group leaders to do what works for them. We're not super rigid, and Sharon Lee, our Southern Oregon group leader, came to me several years back and said, you know, I'm seeing a lot of people involved with BLM. I said, well, shoot, let's put together a training for the Fish and Wildlife and for the BLM officials so they can learn about these tick-borne illnesses. I'm involved with search and rescue. I've already been doing that for my search groups. So Sharon and I have put together and merged PowerPoint slides to create 2-hour educational events for BLM, Fish and Wildlife, Search and Rescue groups, at Oregon Equestrian Trails, which is a very large equine organization that primarily focuses on trail riding. These are all people that have high exposure. We've got something we're trying to get going with the Oregon Hunters Association, so we can go in and help educate them on how to protect themselves. Different areas. We do tick studies and collection of data in Oregon so that we can give that information to all the parties who may want to know.
Well, you're doing a fantastic job. I'm so impressed, and I can't wait to get out there and meet you all. So, Teresa, hold on because it's time for our station break, and when we come back, let's talk more about what we're going to do when I come out to join you all in September. So, audience, stay with us. We're going to take a quick station break. This is Katina Macris with Limelight Radio.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information. Are you ready for a radical shift in your way of being? Are you seeking a more deeply connected and fulfilling life? Awakened Living Radio is a show dedicated to helping you embrace a life filled with profound peace, connection, and happiness. TJ Woodward is passionate about helping you find your clarity, balance, and purpose. Join co-host TJ Woodward and Dr. Pat Basile on the first Monday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific Time for Awakened Living Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Tune in to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, remove your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Speaker, teacher, channel, clairvoyant, Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst who channels a powerful energy from Source to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Everyone, this is Katina Macris. Welcome back to Limelight Radio on this beautiful summer day. I'm visiting with the most special, wonderful, talented, and a really compassionate Teresa Denham from out in Oregon, who, besides leading her state to awareness about Lyme disease and bringing so many people into the hands of the pet practitioners they need to be with in order to get well. She actually has done something that I consider to be groundbreaking, and we're seeing slowly happening in more states, but I want to have Teresa explain to us so you can follow suit in your state, is how she initiated the legislation process to work with the state government regarding Lyme disease. So, Teresa, could you kind of give us a step-by-step of how you began this process at the state level?
Yes. It's been a very long, slow process, and it started with sitting down with senators either at town hall meetings or in their offices and taking the time to tell them what I believe the issues are in Oregon, and then at the same time hearing why they felt it was or was not an issue, and looking at how to address those things. And the late Senator Westland was probably my best hand holder in the beginning of the process, And he took time. Our first meeting was at a Starbucks coffee shop. And he took time to hear me. He told me he'd give me 10 minutes. And I went in and I told him my story. And he said, oh, that's absurd. That would never happen in Oregon. And I was crushed.
Wow.
And I looked at him and I said, do you think I would be sitting here if this doesn't happen in Oregon? And he said,
oh my gosh.
Well, let me get back to you. So that was our first meeting. And I felt very defeated because I knew he was going to go to our health teaching hospital where our policymakers are and where our infectious disease people are, and he was going to get the scoop on Lyme disease. And I really felt like that would be a closed door for me. I called him the following week. I said, I'd like a follow-up appointment with you. And he says, well, I'm not sure I have time. And I said, well, I'd like a follow-up appointment. I have a couple questions. So I did go back and ask him a few more questions and asked him what it would take for him to believe that this was actually an issue. And he said, well, I'd like to talk to some other patients and I'd like to see some medical records. So I arranged for with several of our patients to get medical records or to speak with him. And he followed up with me shortly after that. He said, well, they say we don't have ticks in Oregon that cause Lyme disease, and if we do, then the blue-bellied lizard eats them anyway, so it's not a problem. So how about if we were to do some study and present that we do really have these ticks in Oregon? So that was kind of the first, that's how we got involved with the studies, and I've always liked research anyway. So we got involved with some tick studies, and lo and behold, we had ticks coming back that were positive for Lyme disease, for the Borrelia burgdorferi. And so I came back to him, and he says, well, now we've got to figure out how many people are affected. So we put out a survey. It's actually part of the survey that I used when I was working with CALDA. Lorraine and I developed that survey together years and years ago. It's been changed since. But I used that initial survey to find out what people were diagnosed with, how long they've been ill, what doctors they'd seen, what specialties they've seen. And I took all that data over a period of a year, and I compiled it and returned the results to him. And he said, boy, it really looks like we might have a problem. And then shortly after that, he passed away, and I felt like my only contact is gone. So I started the process over, and by then things had changed, and Oregon was even more resistant to Lyme, acceptance of Lyme disease, and so we had some even bigger hurdles. So 2 years ago, I started speaking again with a local senator and sat down in his office, and he said, you know, I think what you're saying makes sense. And science had come enough, far enough that iLabs had some additional science. iLabs had already applied and received guidelines through the IOM grade criteria. And so we used that to say, hey, if the IOM grade criteria is good enough for the World Health Organization, then why isn't it good enough for Oregon patients? You know, they have it in California.
Yeah.
They have it all over the East Coast. Why aren't we allowed to use that here? And so we sat down with senators and went over what this IOM means, what the grade criteria is, and how these guidelines developed under that criteria should be considered here in Oregon. And they felt that it was compelling and went ahead and introduced the bill. The bill did get muddied out. We did kill the bill, but it's a start.
It's a great start. And, oh, my gosh, Teresa, number one, you're so bold and brave and tenacious, and you've got vision, and I just love it that you wouldn't let the senator just dismiss you, and that you just stuck right there with it in your firm but kind way, and look what progress you're making, really, in a relatively short time.
Yeah, you know, in this last year in the Senate, we've made a lot of allies, not so many in the House, which is where we had our problems with getting this bill acknowledged. But in the Senate, we have some really great allies, and we also have made some connections with state policymakers to look at how organ diagnosis Lyme disease, because the diagnostic criteria in organ is actually much tighter than the CDC diagnostic criteria. The CDC surveillance criteria, not diagnostic. So in order to be diagnosed with Lyme disease in Oregon, you have to meet the CDC surveillance, and then there's a few more things that have to happen in order for you to be considered to have Lyme disease and obtain treatment. So we are looking we're working with some policymakers to see if we can make changes in that as well. And again, you know, as a support leader for the whole state, what's really cool is I have support leaders, you know, we have an umbrella, it covers the state, we have many support leaders, and I say, I need this information from your patients, and they get that information and they feed it back to us, and we're able to collect incredible amounts of data that we can use to hopefully help the patients.
That's fantastic. And, you know, I have to say, having visited, you know, so many regions of the country as a speaker and educator and advocate for Lyme disease, your climate zone in Oregon, especially, you know, the whole coastal region and the southern region, I mean, the ticks really never get a chance to die off, but they just are constantly hatching out new generations. So you're like prime breeding ground.
We are. And on top of that, we're in the international flight way of migratory birds. So we constantly have Canadian geese coming from Canada and bringing us infections from there and going to California and picking those up and bringing them back up through on their way north. So here it's really funny. My most phone calls for Lyme disease exposures come in February and November, which is when the birds are migrating.
When they're migrating through, because Canadian geese can carry a couple hundred ticks on board, I'm told.
Correct.
They're big tick taxis. So, and then as you said, with your outdoor lifestyle, so many people are outdoor enthusiasts and sportsmen and you know, equestrians and fishermen, and so there's a lot of exposure. It's really probably been decades now of people being infected and not even really realizing it.
Correct. We do have the highest rate and fastest growing rate of multiple sclerosis in the nation. Besides, I think Rhode Island's ahead of us. But we were about 6% above the national average.
Oh, my gosh. And Dr. Alan McDonald, who I know you know of, and I've interviewed him on the radio here, who I admire so much, he's made the connection between Lyme disease infections and MS to the tune of 90% in certain regions, and he's doing a study now, I know, overseas with Norway, which is also a very severely infected region. So, you know, potentially on the positive side, Teresa, on the positive side, even though we're looking at a very, very dire situation, which you and I and others equate to the AIDS epidemic back in the 80s, but actually growing faster, four times faster, we're looking at a potential breakthrough when we can finally connect the dots and put the pieces together. A lot of these illnesses and sufferings and autoimmune disorders, we can find tick-borne organisms behind them all. And when we finally put it together over the next 10, 12 years, whatever, I am hopeful that a lot of the suffering and certainly the new cases we can have a better handle on. So,
exactly.
Thank you. Yeah, and you know, and you are a stunning example of recovery. It just warms my heart. I mean, oh my gosh, to think that you could barely walk, and here you are doing this tremendous work. And so, anyway, Teresa, it's time for our last station break. Audience, stay with us. We're going to come right back. This is Katina Macris with Limelight Radio.
Oh, every day it's a getting closer, going faster than a roller coaster. A love like yours will surely come my way.
My dream is to end homelessness.
My passion is living a green life.
My dream is to end poverty.
My passion is volunteering.
My passion is making a difference.
My dream is to cure Lyme disease.
My passion is rebuilding communities.
My passion is helping those in need.
My passion is caring for the elderly.
My dream is to find a cure for cancer.
My dream is to leave a better world for my children.
We all have that special passion, that lifelong dream that drives us to live our lives with meaning and to create a better world. No matter what drives you, we can all make an impact. Dr. Pat Basile is helping others make their dreams come true, so we can all help make our world a better world.
To learn more about how Dr. Pat is building a community of sharing hope, strength, funds, knowledge, and information, visit abetterworldcrowdfunding.com today. That's abetterworldcrowdfunding.com.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
The doctor is in. Tune in to the hit show, The Psychic Love Doctor, with host Deborah Lee. Deborah's life-affirming, highly perceptive reading method has taught Deborah how to zero in on specific problems with relationships, career pursuits, and current roadblocks to success and happiness. This inspiring show will help you never feel helpless in life or love ever again. Join Deborah Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Welcome back to Limelight Radio, everyone. This is Katina Macris with you today. Two announcements I want to make. One is that this month of August is the last month of live broadcasting of Limelight Radio with myself and my guest host of late, Mara Williams. We're going to go into a little hiatus this fall because I'm on tour with my new book, which is just released, Autoimmune Illness and Lyme Disease Recovery Guide, Manding Body, Mind, and Spirit. Some of you that pre-ordered at Amazon have just been receiving it in the mail today. How exciting. It's in the bookstores as of August 18th. And I'm so excited to be bringing it out to the West Coast with Teresa and the whole group out in Oregon. But I also want to let you know that don't worry, you're going to be able to listen to 2 years worth of archived podcasts of Limelight Radio this fall. It's a wonderful opportunity for so many of you to get caught up. So each week I'll be posting an archive of a prior show so you can all listen to my fabulous guests and our wonderful interviews. And then we'll go live again in January 2016. So with that in mind, it's so exciting Teresa and with her wonderful support group have planned a fantastic tour with me. We're going to be in Oregon for 9 days, I think. So, Teresa, let's give everybody the schedule so they can come out and meet us and get lots of great information about Lyme and autoimmune illnesses and testing and diagnostics and treatment and hope and inspiration, because I'm a recovery and you're a recovery. We want to help others recover like us. So let's fill people in on the exciting event.
Okay, so in Southern Oregon at the Rogue Regional Medical Center over on Barnett Road in Medford, we're going to have a meeting on September 17th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Tickets can be purchased online through our website, and we'll give that to you at the end. Then Katina on 9/19 is going to be coming to Bend, Oregon. And she has two events in Bend. One will be held at the Environmental Center on Kansas Avenue from 9 to 11, and that is a patient event. And she's also going to be doing an event for practitioners in Bend on the 18th. So if you would like your practitioner to come to that event, please contact me and we'll get your practitioner an invitation. Then she's going to be moving to Hood River on September 20th, and at 4 p.m. they're going to be at a beautiful outdoor venue on Hudson Road with Mary Jane and Steve Heppy, who are running our Hood River support group. And again, all those tickets can be purchased online. After Katina leaves Hood River, she will be heading to Portland, where she has two wonderful events. The first event is going to be September 23rd, and it is through an organization called The Link for Women, but men are perfectly welcome to come, especially if they have wives with Lyme disease or autoimmune illnesses. That event is September 23rd at the Portland Golf Club. There is a link on our website to get over to the advance purchase, and they do have to be purchased in advance for that event. There are no door sales at that event. And the last event...
And I think we're having dinner at that event, too, aren't we? We're having dinner that night at that event,
that,
I think,
that
aren't
is,
we?
Yeah, that, there's a beautiful dinner. Elizabeth Arrow, who's been working with David Johnson, our Portland support group person, has put together, like I said, two really beautiful events up in the Portland area. They both include dinner and some amazing motivational and experiences with Katina that I think are just going to be amazing. And then the last event is going to be at the Portland Bridgeport Brew Pub on September 24th. And that event will include a dinner. We have several different levels of seating. Some of the seating will allow a reception with Katina prior to the event. It's a private reception to those who choose that particular sponsorship. And if they would like other seating arrangements that give additional benefits, such as books, those are available. If they really just want to come just for your event, we can offer that as well. And if you go to our webpage, it's very well spelled out on what benefits and what prices are with that event. And this is, again, a pre-registered and prepaid event only. So
what's the website? What's the website everyone should go visit, Teresa?
OregonLyme.com. And then choose the tab that says events.
Perfect. And I'll be putting it up on my website, too, which is limelightradio.com. And my other website is katinamacris.com. And you can just click on my schedule, and we'll link in to the Oregon tour. And I have to say, there's a little bit of everything for everyone in this wonderful trip to Oregon. I'm so grateful to all of you, Teresa, Mary Jane, Sharon, Elizabeth, David. There's been so much hard work. We've been working on this for over 6 months, And we've got something for everyone. I don't want people to be turned away at the door at some of the support group ones that we're hosting. We have donations at the door to help cover my travel expenses. All these trips are done really grassroots efforts with beautiful folks like Teresa and her other leaders to bring in inspiration, healing, hope, strategies. This is for you. I'm there for you. I'm here to help you find your way out of this snarl of suffering and discomfort and find a way to return to wellness and healing. Teresa and I both know intimately what this disease, Lyme disease, looks like on the inside, and I know because I also was misdiagnosed with an autoimmune condition for many years, which is why I wrote this new book, Autoimmune Illness and Lyme Disease Recovery Guide, Mending Body, Mind, and Spirit. So please join us in Oregon. I know we've got people coming from Idaho. I've heard of others wanting to come down from Washington State. There's a little bit of everything for everyone. We want to include all of you, so please visit LymeOregon.com and I can't wait to meet you all. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you so much, Teresa, for joining me today. You've been a wonderful guest.
Well, thank you, and we look so forward to having you in Oregon and just being a word of hope and inspiration to all our patients here. Thank you.
Oh, yes, it's my honor and privilege. It has become my life work to reach around the country and the globe to help end this epidemic, and I'm so grateful to work with all of you. This is going to be very, very rewarding for all of us. So thank you, Teresa. I'll see you in a few weeks. And to all of our listeners, this show will be up on archive tomorrow. Visit limelightradio.com, hit the archive link, and you can look for today's podcast, and you can share it with your friends and listen to it again. It's also at iTunes. Just put in Limelight Radio at iTunes, and you'll get into the archive. So thank you, everyone. You've been wonderful an audience today. And thank you, Teresa, for joining me out in Oregon. And I'll see you next in month. I'll see you in September.
Sounds wonderful. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Limelight Radio with Katina Makris. Tune in each Wednesday at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Get ready for some of the most provocative conversation with leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. If you've missed any part of this hit radio show, visit LimelightRadio.com. That's LimelightRadio.com. We'll see you next week on Limelight Radio with Katina Makris. Then I go to my brother.